Our reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen cloths, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. It was not lined with the linen cloths, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciple went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb and saw two angels there, dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it that you're looking for?" She thought he was the gardener, so she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which this means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I've not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rosemary. You must have been told countless times by now how the story of Jesus' resurrection differs in each of the four Gospels, as each of the writers portray the event from their own perspective and have written it down as such. But there are, of course, also some similarities, and one thing that we find across the four accounts in the Gospels is the sense of pace and of events that are overwhelming, that are happening. Across the four accounts, we read about earthquakes, angels, big stones being rolled away, grave cloth laying without a body, and so on. And the account that we read in John that was so well read by Rosemary, thank you, it almost has something frantic when we read through the text. Mary Magdalene is running to the grave in the morning. Peter is running after Mary had run back to them and saying, "The body is not there." Peter starts running. The other disciples start running. We don't even know the name of this disciple, although some among us believe it to be John. So Peter is running, the other disciple is running. One is outrunning the other. One gets there first but doesn't go into the tomb. The other then arrives, does go into the tomb. It is almost comical if we start to imagine pictures with the stories. Everybody running around. But the text itself is, of course, far from funny. Rather complicated, puzzling, or even deeply touching when we listen to Mary Magdalene, who in her desperate grief is looking for the body of Jesus. And many of us here can probably imagine the anguish that she must have felt of not being able to care for the body of the one that she loved so deeply. Not being able to do that last very important thing of planning a funeral. We had Betty's funeral here last week, and even although she had only nephews and nieces left, there is something almost holy in planning someone's funeral, in doing that well, and in saying goodbye in a way that is well. Many of us here know some of what Mary might have felt that morning when she discovered that Jesus' body was gone, and not knowing what had happened to it. It probably is this pain and anguish that she feels that keeps Mary from returning home too, like Peter and the other disciples, the other disciple did. And before we look further and think a little bit further about Mary's experiences there, let's reflect for a moment on what happened to the two disciples. They see the grave cloth lying in the tomb. They see the part that had covered the body, and somehow, neatly rolled up, they saw the different cloth that was wrapped around the head. And we read that they saw and that they believe. We see that Simon Peter was the one who went first into the tomb, straight away, in his own straightforward way. He wasn't going to wait outside. He was going to have a look, and he saw the strips of linen laying there. Then the other disciple also came in and saw the same thing. He saw and believed. But the puzzling thing is, what did they believe? Because in the very next sentence, we read that they did not yet understand that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So what was it then that they had believed? Well, perhaps the idea may be that they did believe he was no longer there and that something had happened to him, but perhaps it had something to do with his body being taken up to heaven straight away by God. There were examples of that in the Old Testament, of people who did not die, whose body was not found. We see it with Moses. We see it with Elijah, who was straight taken up into heaven. And we also see it with Enoch. Perhaps that is what the disciples thought, that Jesus now had been taken up into heaven by God, that his body that had been so abused and marred, that had been marred beyond recognition, had been set free by God and taken up into heaven. And then the text tells us they returned to where they stayed. They returned to their homes. Mary, however, stayed around. She kept waiting and she kept crying, and in some way she kept searching for the body. She could not let go. She wanted to find Jesus' body. And she heard the questions that the angels asked her. She heard the questions Jesus asked her. And she answered them in one way or another. And we get a sense from the text, perhaps, that she could have continued doing so and being there for a long, long time. In a similar way as we sometimes do and must do when we are overwhelmed by grief and want to tell the same story again, when we want to give the same details again to people of what has happened, of how the person was. What will have gone through Mary when Jesus spoke her name and she recognized him as the one for whose body she had been looking? Are we able to ever understand even the smallest part of this story? Or is it so far removed from our hearts and from our minds that we never really question or never really want to question what it must have been for her? Is it a scary place to go for us? For if we go there, we can only believe in faith that she met the risen Lord. And with deep faith come doubt. It is in the place where our deepest, deepest beliefs are seated that doubts are also existing. It doesn't matter. Perhaps that is where faith actually grows. Mary Magdalene saw the risen Lord. She must have been speechless. Although we hear her say, Rabuni, teacher, there must have been part of her that could not believe that this was really happening. And let's not forget that if it is difficult for us to imagine these things, it was difficult for people at that time too. They had not seen anyone resurrected from the dead. But Mary sees the Lord and she believes. For we know that she goes from that place and tells the other disciples what had happened and who she has seen. Mary does not stay in the place where she meets the Lord. Jesus says to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not ascended to your Father and my Father." And it is this what Easter faith consists of. It is this that it does. Easter faith is something that is dynamic. It is something that is a movement. It is something that does not hold on to how things were in the past. And Easter faith is willing to be blown wherever the Spirit of God sends us. For Easter faith blows the followers of Christ into the world to proclaim the message of Christ being alive, of the Lord risen from the dead, of new life in him. Mary was the first who preached an Easter sermon. And this is what it said. Very simple. I have seen the Lord. And then she told the disciples what Jesus had said to her. Is that not the essence of every Easter sermon? Of every form of witness? Of every time we evangelize? To tell people, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the risen Lord Jesus. And then tell others what that encounter was about. Without these words, I have seen the Lord, there is no message. Look again at the other two disciples. See what they believed and what they did. They saw, they believed, but they did not yet understand. They had not yet seen the Lord, and they went back to their homes. They went back to where they were staying. They did not have much to tell. Perhaps that the grave, the tomb, was empty. But they did not have anything to say that sounded like, I have seen the Lord. That, for them, would not come until the evening of that first day, when Jesus appeared to them at the house where they were staying and breathed the Holy Spirit on them. Sometimes we can have been to an empty tomb. Maybe even have run to it with great excitement to see what was going on. We may have seen the empty tomb and believed it, and yet we have not met Jesus, the risen Lord. We have not heard him call our name. And as a result, we returned to where we were staying. Easter faith is seeing Jesus. Easter faith is seeing the risen Lord in glorious resurrection. Easter faith is knowing that he has called our name and responded to it, recognizing him as our Savior and our Lord. Where will we be at the evening of this Easter Sunday? Have you seen the Lord? Have you heard him call your name? He is standing before us, calling us, showing himself to us. The crucified Jesus, alive forever. Amen.